condominiums, cooperatives, townhouses, and timeshares condominium ownership. Two types of ownership in a condominium. 1. The owner of each unit holds a fee simple title to the airspace described by the 3D survey. 2. The individual unit owners also own a specified share of the undivided interest in the remainder of the building and land, known as the common elements, as tenant in common. Common elements include land, courtyards, lobbies, the exterior structure, hallways, elevators, stairways, roof, recreational facilities. As such, each condominium owner has a fractional, undividable interest in the common elements, meaning the interest can be sold, along with the condo, but not any actual part of the common elements. Illinois law provides, however, that unit owners do not have the same right to partition that other tenants in common have. Creation of a condominium. In Illinois, the creation of condominiums is governed by the Illinois Condominium Property Act, 765 ILCS 605. Under this law, an owner-developer may elect to submit a parcel of real estate as a condominium situation by recording a declaration, to which is attached a three-dimensional plat of survey of the parcel showing the location and size of all units in the building. Every unit purchaser acquires the fee simple title to the unit purchased, together with the percentage of ownership of the common elements that are set forth in the declaration and that belongs to that unit. This percentage is computed on the basis of the initial list prices of each unit. 3D survey. The survey required with each declaration of condominium ownership must indicate the dimensions of each unit. This survey will show the outlines of the lot, the size and shape of each unit, and the elevation or height above base datum for the upper surface of the floor level and the lower surface of the ceiling level. The difference between these two levels represents the airspace owned in fee simple by the unit owner. Many Illinois municipalities have adopted conversion ordinances to protect tenants in rental buildings whose owners wish to convert to condominiums. The ordinances also protect prospective purchasers. These laws typically allow tenants an opportunity to extend their leases and often guarantee first purchase rights. Additional protections often include disclosure of all material information, the structural soundness of the building, adequacy of parking, and a variety of other concerns. These ordinances generally have been upheld by the courts as a valid exercise of police power. Ownership of a condominium. Once the property is established as a condominium, each unit becomes a separate parcel of real estate that is owned in fee simple and may be held by one or more persons in any type of ownership or tenancy recognized by state law. A condominium unit may be mortgaged like any other parcel of real estate. The unit can usually be sold or transferred to whomever the owner chooses unless the condominium association provides for a right of first refusal. In such a case, the owner is required to offer the unit at the same price to the other owners in the condominium or the association before accepting an outside purchase offer. Real estate taxes are assessed and collected on each unit as an individual property. Default in the payment of taxes or a mortgage loan by one unit owner may result in a foreclosure sale of that owner's unit. One owner's default, however, does not affect the other unit owners. Operation and administration of a condominium. The condominium property is administered by an association of unit owners, often called a homeowners association, HOA. The association may be governed by a board of directors or another official entity, and it may manage the property on its own or hire a property manager. The association must enforce any rules it adopts regarding the operation and use of the property. The association is responsible for the maintenance, repair, cleaning, and sanitation of the common elements and structural portions of the property. It also must maintain fire, extended coverage, and liability insurance. The expenses of maintaining and operating the building are paid by the unit owners in the form of fees and assessments. Both fees and assessments are imposed and collected by the owners association. Recurring fees, referred to as assessments or condo fees, are paid by each unit owner. The fees often are due monthly, but the schedule may be quarterly, semi-annually, or annually, depending on the provisions of the bylaws. The size of an individual owner's fee is generally determined by the percentage of the unit's selling price, in relation to the total of the selling price of all units when originally converted or built, but occasionally the percentage of square footage of the unit compared to the total square footage of all units in the condominium. If the fees are not paid, the association may seek a court-ordered judgment to have the delinquent owner's unit sold to cover the outstanding amount. Special assessments are special payments required of unit owners to address some specific expenses, such as a new roof. Assessments are structured in the same way as condo fees. Owners of larger units pay proportionately higher assessments. These general condominium guidelines apply under the Condominium Property Act in Illinois. However, the property may be removed from condominium status at any time by the unanimous consent of all owners and all lien holders, as evidenced by a recorded written instrument. All owners would then be tenants in common. Homeowners Association regulations. About 50 million U.S. homeowners belong to some sort of a homeowners association. The purpose of an HOA is to protect its members and property values. If a real estate agent has a property listed that has an HOA, the agent needs a copy of the rules and regulations from the homeowners and should pass it on to any potential buyer, since HOA rules and regulations vary between different HOAs. Some basic duties include collecting HOA dues, enforcing code violations, and determining changes to the covenants, conditions, and restrictions, CCR. A major benefit of an HOA is to protect property values as long as they are enforced by the association board. The CCR for an HOA are spelled out before you move in or purchase property. Everyone in an HOA must abide by the same code. Cooperative ownership. In a cooperative, a corporation holds title to the land and building. The corporation offers shares of stock to prospective tenants. The price the corporation sets for each apartment becomes the price of the stock. The purchaser becomes a shareholder in the corporation by virtue of this stock ownership and receives a proprietary lease to the apartment for the life of the corporation. Because stock is personal property, the cooperative tenant owners do not own real estate. Instead, they own an interest in a corporation that has only one asset, the building, which is personal property. Operation and management of a co-op. The operation and management of a cooperative are determined by the corporation's bylaws. Through their control of the corporation, the shareholders of a cooperative control the property and its operation. They elect officers and directors who are responsible for operating the corporation and its real estate assets. Individual shareholders are obligated to abide by the corporation's bylaws. An important issue in most cooperatives is the method by which shares in the corporation may be transferred to new owners. The bylaws may require that the board of directors approve any prospective shareholders. In some cooperatives, a tenant owner must sell the stock back to the corporation at the original purchase price so that the corporation realizes any profits when the shares are resold. In others, if the stock is sold for the latest going price on the unit, stock profits may go to the departing tenant or at least be shared. The corporation incurs costs in operation and maintenance of the entire parcel, including both the common property and the individual apartments. These costs include real estate taxes and any mortgage payments the corporation may have. The corporation also budgets funds for such expenses as insurance, utilities, repairs and maintenance, janitorial and other services, replacement of equipment, and reserves for capital expenditures. Funds for the budget are assessed to individual shareholders, generally in the form of monthly fees similar to those charged by a homeowners association in a condominium. Unlike in a condominium association, which has the authority to impose a lien on the title held by a unit owner who defaults on maintenance payments, the burden of any defaulted payment in a cooperative falls on the remaining shareholders. Each shareholder is affected by the financial ability of the others. For this reason, the approval of prospective tenants by the board of directors frequently involves financial evaluation. If the corporation is unable to make mortgage and tax payments because of shareholder defaults, The property might be sold by court order in a foreclosure suit. This could destroy the interests of all shareholders, including those who have paid their assessments. Advantages of co-op ownership. Cooperative ownership, despite its risks, has become desirable in recent years for several reasons. Lending institutions view the shares of stock as acceptable collateral for financing. The availability of financing extends the possible transfer of shares to modest purchasers in many co-ops. As a tenant owner, rather than a tenant who pays rent to a landlord, the shareholder has some control over the property. Tenants in cooperatives also enjoy certain income tax advantages. The IRS treats cooperatives as it does fee simple interest in single homes or condominiums in regard to the deductibility of loan interest, property taxes, and home sellers' tax exclusions. Finally, owners enjoy freedom from maintenance. Illinois real estate licensees are permitted to list and sell cooperative units and interests without obtaining a securities license. Townhouse ownership. A townhouse is a popular form of housing in urban areas. The term townhouse is often used to describe any type of housing connected by common walls. In fact, the townhouse concept is a cross between single-family houses and apartments. Title to each unit and lot is vested in the individual owner. Each owner also has a fractional interest in the common areas and is proportionately financially responsible. Common areas may include open spaces, recreational facilities, driveways, and sidewalks. The owner may sell, lease, will, or otherwise transfer the dwelling unit. The rights to the use of the common areas pass with the title. Timeshare ownership. Timeshare ownership permits multiple purchasers to buy interests in real estate, usually a resort property. Each purchaser receives the right to use the facilities for a certain period of time. A timeshare estate includes a real property interest in condominium ownership. A timeshare use is a contract right in which a third party retains ownership of the real estate. In addition, pursuant to the Real Estate License Act of 2000, a person who engages in the sale of timeshares must have a real estate license. Certain exemptions to the real estate licensing requirement apply. An existing timeshare owner who, for compensation, refers prospective purchasers, but only if the existing timeshare owner, 1, refers no more than 20 prospective purchasers in any calendar year, receives no more than $1,000, or its equivalent, for referrals in any calendar year, 2. Limits his or her activities to referring prospective purchasers of timeshare interests to the developer or the developer's employees or agents and does not show, discuss terms or conditions of purchase, or otherwise participate in negotiations with regard to timeshare interests. A timeshare estate is a fee simple interest. The owner's occupancy and use of the property are limited to the contractual period purchased. The owner is assessed for maintenance and common area expenses based on the ratio of the ownership period to the total number of ownership periods in the property. Timeshare estates theoretically never end because they are real property interests. However, the physical life of the improvements is limited and must be looked at carefully when considering such a purchase. A timeshare use consists of the right to occupy and use the facilities for a certain number of years. At the end of that time, the owner's rights in the property terminate. In effect, the developer has sold only a right of occupancy and use to the owner, not a fee simple interest. The Illinois Real Estate License Act requires that all developers and their agents must register with the IDFPR and hold a real estate license unless the licensee sells less than 8 timeshares per year. A timeshare listing agreement must provide for minimum requirements. Each purchaser must be given a detailed public offering statement before signing the contract. The statement discloses extensive information about the property, such as time periods, percentage of common expenses for each unit, use and occupancy restrictions, and the total number of units. In addition, disclosures to purchasers must include the status of assessments and real estate or personal property taxes. The statement also must include information about the developer and property management. Any purchase contract entered into by a purchaser of a timeshare interest shall be voidable, rescindable, by the purchaser without penalty, within 5 calendar days after the receipt of the public offering statement or the execution of the purchase contract, whichever is later. The purchase contract shall provide notice of the 5-day cancellation period as well as the name and mailing address, to which any notice of cancellation shall be delivered. Upon such cancellation, the developer or resale agent shall refund to the purchaser all payments made by the purchaser, less the amount of any benefits actually received pursuant to the purchase contract. The refund shall be made within 20 calendar days after the receipt of the notice of cancellation, or receipt of funds from the purchaser's cleared check, whichever occurs later.